Hello, my name's Veronica, and I'm interviewing Marina Warner for 1001 Nights for the Asia Festival. Can you give us a summary of your work?
Well, in this book, I was trying to look at what the conversation had been around the stories of the Arabian Nights in the West, because I was interested to try and draw out perhaps an alternative story in which there had been contact, admiration, influence, interest, that would act as a bit of a counterpoise to the demonization of the Middle East that was going on when I started writing the book. It's got a little bit better, but it still goes on.
What inspires you to write?
I'm a graphomaniac. Can you guess?
Has it got anything to do with, like, maps?
No, you're right. Graph could be, yes, like cartography. No, it means I can't stop writing.
Oh.
It's like being a kleptomaniac, which means you can't stop taking things. It's a word I've only just learned myself.
What interests you about Arab culture or history?
Well, I love the stories. I mean, I've been enchanted by the stories, and Hanan tells them really well, with wonderful wit and liveliness. And it's quite difficult to get good versions. I mean, good linguistic versions. You get lots and lots of. I mean, I loved reading them, but the versions they're in are not. You know, a lot of them are terribly old-fashioned and very bowdlerized and censored and sometimes exaggerated, and so that, you know, it's wonderful to have her book. But I still love the stories. They spring surprises. They're very satisfying in their violence and their eroticism, and perhaps not for your young ears. But you know, they also are carried by a terrific belief in the power of the word and of stories and of narratives to shape experience and culture. And that's very dear to me. I mean, Sherazade, I'm sure you said this, is telling stories not only to save her life from the Sultan's rage, he wants to kill all his wives, but she's actually telling stories to change him from a brute and an ignorant, blind, angry man into someone who understands the complexities of the human condition and become a different person and understand mercy and justice. But one shouldn't say, I mean, there's a lot of feminism, I don't know if you talked about this, in which people don't like this idea that, you know, Shahrazad is just there to make a bad man good. I mean, there's also a lot of, you know, colourful, extraordinary, dynamic women who do many different things and not only dedicate themselves to converting a bad man.
What do you do when you don't know what to write?
Well, you know, the awful thing is that I don't really suffer from that. But when I don't, if I had time, I mean, I used to do lots of things, but unfortunately, for some reason, I think it's email. I no longer do anything but write. And whenever I have a moment, I have to write emails. But I used to sew. I used to like sewing. And I used to garden. So those are pleasures of the past.
What message were you trying to convey through your works, through to your readers?
Well, I believe that we live far more closely connected to what we imagine. On the whole, the sort of convention is that we learn things empirically, that we learn them by experiencing them and finding out and exploring. But I think we learn a lot by imagining it in our heads beforehand, and that this, before we experience it. I mean, it's certainly true of almost every child now that they will have seen a lion in a book before they see a real lion. And that, I think, is a kind of model for actually how a lot of experience comes to people. It first comes through a representation of one kind or another, as a story or a picture book or a film. And so I believe those places of the imagination are really important and need, you know, I'm a sort of critic as well as a kind of writer, but I, you know, I believe that one should look and assess and explore what the meanings of those imaginative structures are. And I think they can be very pernicious, very dangerous, very stifling and unliberating to people, but I think they can also be, you know, turned around and become liberating. I mean, it's very obvious in a sense, you know, that, I mean, when I was young, I had a comic called Girl, and at the back of Girl there were used to be great lives, and now and then there was a great life of a woman, and, you know, there were characters like Joan of Arc or Marie Curie. Well, you know, this absolutely made a difference to my picture of the world. I realized that men did most of things that were noticed. I felt rather cross about it when I was your age. But it made a bit of a difference that occasionally I came across some imaginative story about a story about a real woman, but an imaginative story about her in which something had happened. So I believe that by expanding imaginative structures, we actually expand the range of possible experience.
Do you think people can still relate to 1001 Nights?
Oh, yes. I mean, and have been. It's coming back. And it's also coming back in its country, its countries of origin and its language of origin. Because for a time it was... You probably should say this, because it's more...
They discovered it.
Yeah, yeah.
It wasn't popular in the Arab world.
Well, it was a bit considered low, wasn't it?
It was considered low because of the language. Mm-hmm. And they thought it wasn't literature. It's only folklore and tales for the common people or the very poor people.
Yes. So it suffered from the condescension,
yes,
from the elite and the educated class. But I think, as far as I can tell, most people heard them when they were small.
Yes. Well, they heard not all... I mean,
yeah,
only the children,
yes,
tales.
Mm.
Yeah. But not the juicy ones.
Yes. No. Well, the juicy ones have only really resurfaced now.
Yes.
I mean, they were never included in the Western anthologies either. I mean, they are very raunchy. Very, and you've done them in your play. Yes, they're wonderful because they also are about experience. They're also about the range of experience. I mean, the fact they go into these possibilities. It's not because they're representing the real world. They're not actually saying this is what happens in the real world. They're saying this is what, you know, human beings can do. This is where their desires go. This is where their fears go.
Okay, thank you for this interview.
Thank you. Glad you came.